Chapter 6 and verse 9 is where we'll be. Most, if not all of us, have had an employer in the past who thought it was their job to make our life miserable. They ranged from overbearing to micromanaging to verbally abusive to disrespectful. They brought us to tears or raised our ire or even just made going to work every day. Here's one person's experience that I came across as I was looking through some files. My first job out of college was in sales, but it operated much more like a call center, mistake number one. As a result of the high volume of incoming calls, every rep was required to be on the phone and at their desk at all times. That meant we had a bathroom request button on our computers. Anytime you had to use the restroom, you'd click the button and cross your fingers or legs and hope for the best. The requests got kicked up to my not so great manager and 9 times out of 10 denied immediately. In a few lines of scripture, Paul outlines for us how to help us to manage others in a biblical fashion. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So, Master in heaven, we bow before you this morning and we ask you for insight. We ask you for help. Everybody thinks they're a great manager, or should be the manager because they're so great. But truth be known, we've got a few flies in our ointment that need to be sorted out. And we pray you would help us with our character, with our treatment of others. And do that through your word today, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Masters and slaves. People are often put into superior and inferior roles. People are not inferior to one another, but the role that we fill is often called upon to be submissive to somebody else or to help to organize and keep other people moving. Most bosses not only have people working for them, but they're working under somebody else. Even the CEO of a corporation has to answer to a board of directors. And so there's always eyes on the eyes that have eyes on somebody else. Sometimes you're the leader, and sometimes you're the follower. Sometimes you're giving the instructions, and sometimes you're getting them. It's interesting to find retired folk who don't need to work, who go back to work because they enjoy what they do. I've had the opportunity a few times, my car needs to go in for service, and so they'll have somebody drive me back to my house. And I met some real interesting characters taking me in that little jaunt. A number of them have been retired fellows who are just looking to fill in a little bit of time, and they enjoy meeting people. I've had retired teachers. I've had CEOs from corporations. I even had one fellow who was literally a rocket scientist. Or at least that's what he told me. I don't know if he makes up a different story every time he picks somebody up or not. Maybe that's part of his shtick. But there's a difference between those folk who show up because they want to and people who need a job. You know, they got to do this. And a lot of times you get a younger person that'll just, you know, they pull around real fast. They get in, they got other things they got to get to, and you're on your way. And I like to get them talking best I can, and you hear a little bit of their story, and you can get the impression with some, they really don't want to be here. They don't want to be doing this. They've got designs on something greater to come in life, and I understand that. There's probably more important things than to chauffeur me around town. I can't imagine what that might be, but I'm sure that there are bigger dreams for people to have. But there's a difference between having to be somewhere and wanting to be somewhere. And part of the point of the message is, can we flip that switch? There are places we have to be, Can God help us to want to be?
Amen.
Will that help our attitude? Will that help our job? Will that help the whole environment? God help the people who have a manager that doesn't want to be there, who feels like he's being dissed on by the people above him or her, who feels like they've been passed over for promotion and they're going to get their revenge on the people that are there. There are places we just have to be. God, help me to want to be. Not to pass on the misery or the trauma that has come to me, but to pass on the mercy and the grace that's been extended to me by the Lord. Those who need a job, they walk a little more careful. But the retired folk, they don't sweat it. If they come across something that's difficult or somebody's giving a hard time, they just, see you later, pal, I'm going home. And there's a great freedom in that. But a crazy thing is happening today. Apparently nobody needs a job. Since April, 11 million people have walked off the job. Last month alone, 4 million people said, see ya. Many of them not with another job to go to. What are we doing with all these people? How are they surviving? I mean, don't you say, well, I gotta go to work? I mean, even if you want to go to work, you kind of say, I gotta go to work. Now nobody got to go to work. They ask you to do something you don't want to do. You just, hey. Boy, what kind of world are we forming in all of this? Seems we'll do our job as long as we enjoy it, but as soon as it involves work, we're not interested. Maybe our educational system needs to sit up and take notice of what is truly an education. Some of the best education I got was doing jobs I didn't want to do. And it builds what we call character. But don't get drunk on the power to deny somebody a bathroom break or deny them a raise or deny them a second chance. We're all human beings trying to do our best at these things. Remember what it was to chafe under the wrath of an angry employer or manager. There's a phrase that appears several times throughout Scripture. Remember that you yourselves were once slaves in Egypt. And it's caught my attention that the biblical writers write that to generations that were never slaves in Egypt. Remember, you were once slaves in Egypt. Well, no, we weren't. We've always lived here in the promise. But your ancestors were. That's what the Bible's saying. Remember your roots. You know, it's important for us to know where we come from, even if we didn't come from there. Your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, the history of our nation, what people did to sacrifice in order for us to have what we so take for granted today. Don't take it for granted. Think it a little bit back. Don't you know that you yourselves were once slaves? Oh, no, we were. Yeah, trust me. Somebody in your family far enough back was next to a slave, if not a slave themselves. My grandfather on my mom's side was a coal miner. And man, 15 tons and what do you get? You know, another day older and deeper in debt. Hey, the company store owned the town. You got script, not money. And you know, on and on it goes. On my dad's side, they were steel workers. And you know, you got hurt on the job, they pushed you out the door and they called somebody else in. We need to remember what the sacrifices were and how hard it was. They came from the old country and they did what they could. They sacrificed everything and lived on almost nothing so that the next generation could get a foot up. And the next generation, well, we are reaping the benefits, and particularly the generations of today are reaping the benefits of what our forefathers. Remember that you yourselves were once slaves in Egypt. Somebody in your family started at the bottom.
Amen.
So that you could start at the top, or at least partway up that ladder. So be grateful, be thankful, and don't look down on anybody else who is just getting started on that ladder and coming along. It says in verse 9 here, treat your slaves in the same way as what? Well, it refers to the verses before, and it's not hard to pick out the right words: respect, sincerity of heart, doing the will of God from your heart, wholeheartedly. When you go to work, go to work. But it's not just about the work getting done. It's about the people that you interact with through the day. Are you a light in a dark place? Or are you a black eye? Are you bringing everybody down? Are you dragging something in with you to work all the time? Or are you putting that behind you and you're helping each other get through? Have some respect. Be sincere about what you do and how you do it. There will come a time when you'll need your workers to be more than your workers. If you're in management, if you own a company, we've all seen it time and again. It ebbs and it flows. There are times when you can't find a job. Back in the 70s, steel went out of Pittsburgh. After steel went out, the mines went out, and there were a lot of people who were used to making a very good paying wage looking for anything they could find. You could not find a janitor job at a McDonald's in those days. They were re-educating themselves. They were going through everything else. It was just jobs were scarce. And when jobs are scarce, companies and so on tend to be a little bit harsh in what they're looking for and so on. But then the tables get turned. And then everywhere you look, there's a sign up where, you know, help wanted. Well, we pay bonuses and we do this and we do that. And it ebbs and it flows like that. Well, it's good to be consistent and to be kind the whole way through. Because when the door opens up somewhere else, your people are going to be thinking, can I do better elsewhere? Do I like it here or not? And one of the number one things they're looking for is there respect? Am I appreciated for what I do? And that can go a long way to building an environment. In fact, I read an article yesterday. This lady is president of a company. Her job is to come in and make your work environment happy. She's to come in and help with the whole rigmarole, you know, ping pong table, a snack counter, or whatever, and talk about relationships between people, taking what might be a difficult work situation and making it better, one that is abusive and making it fruitful and helpful to everybody. So there's a career in that as well, just helping people do life better. And it starts with our heart and our attitude. You know, even Jesus said, I am gentle and humble in heart. Isn't that powerful? I mean, he's God. He created everything. He's going to be the judge of everybody that stands before him. And he's humble? Well, if he can do humble, what should we be? You know, we can love people. We can help people. We shouldn't be thinking we're all that. When Jesus said to everybody, you know what, when you come into a banquet, don't take the good seat, take the low seat. That was Jesus. He came in, he took the low seat, he took the hard road for us. And so we can do the same for others. And Paul goes on to say, don't threaten them. Don't be one of those supervisors, always full of threats, hanging their job over them or promotion or whatever it is. Don't threaten them. Use your authority when you have to, but don't be a manipulator. Don't play games of favoritism and so on. Be forthright, honest, clear. Expect respect, but also give it. Here it is. You know, we don't play favorites. Right? This is, we all live according to this, but we understand that life also happens. You'll get a lot further ahead with people leading them rather than driving them. Let them in on the know. Here's what's going on. Here's what has to happen. Here's why it has to happen. I need your help. Can you help me? Can you help me? Rewarding good behavior goes a lot further than demeaning poor performance. I noticed employee of the month. That was probably overused and probably lost its glow after a while. But it's better than having jerk of the month. You know, you better be careful because you're on the list. You're the next one out the door. You know, you're the low man on this month. Hey, yeah, it's good to lead with a little encouragement there. Most of us spend a huge portion of, I've never figured it out, but I don't know what chunk of our life we spend at work, but it's pretty big. So we ought to enjoy it more than just tolerate it. God help me. You've placed me here, and you're a good God. Help me to see the goodness. Help me to develop the right spirit that I need. Help us to do this right. A lot of money is spent trying to get people to value one another these days. Have you noticed the discussion just seems to be magnified about mental health? Now, you always knew the people you worked for and with were crazy. They're now willing to admit it. And that's a good thing. We all have issues, we know that. And so we do it together. We do it together. And just helping people get along with other people is huge. Who should lead the way in that? Shouldn't it be the people of God? Shouldn't we be loving and caring and kind and praying for and helping the whole way through? You can change the attitude you have toward your job. You can change the attitude you have toward other people. It's up to you. And God will help you. Oh, no, Pastor, you don't know. Boy, where I? And they did this and they did that. There you go. You're not a slave in Egypt. You know, it's not like that. Could be worse. No, really. Yeah, no, it could. God will either move you or he'll move you. He'll either move you physically or he'll move you from inside, but he'll help you to do better with this job, with these employees that he's brought to you. Boy, if I had so-and-so working for me, if we had that, boy, we'd be doing a whole lot better. You got to play the players you got. Use the people that you have. Paul predicates his remarks on the fact that all of us are under the watchful eye of God. He sees everything. He's taking note. He says, manager, I'm your manager. CEO, chairman of the board, you've got a chairman of the board. And I'm watching to see how you treat the people under you. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. That's true not just of finances, but that's true of encouragement, that's true of grief, and everything else. Lord, I know you're watching. Help me to be careful. Some people, when they're given a position, they think it's an opportunity to vent. They're having a hard time, everybody else is going to have a hard time too. But that's not why God places us there. The essence of poor management is to deny those under your supervision the right to be human. Being a human being with human needs. No, I'm sorry, you can't take a break. I'm sorry, you can't address your bodily functions. Family emergencies are not permitted during business hours. Natural disasters are no excuse. You're supposed to be at work. What do you mean the bridge was out? Come on. Certainly no one should be permitted to take advantage of a boss's good nature or tender heart. But at the same time, there needs to be a balance. We often bust on millennials, but I think they've gotten some things right. They're not so fixated on time clocks. Have you noticed that? But they will work passionately for a cause they believe in. And if you can have some buy-in, if you can show them where this fits, if they can believe they're part of a bigger cause, you can have quite a passionate worker. Make them part of a team. Show them how their input matters. Reward them for a job well done. They can produce fresh, creative, valuable service to you and others. Learn to speak the language of life. Value individuality and talent. Never underestimate the value of saying thank you. I appreciate you. You did a good job at that. People will light up. You can make that. They may not even act like they notice, but it's appreciated when you appreciate the things that other people are doing. Reward the work accomplished. Reward. I know there's a paycheck. You go to work and you get paid. And paychecks attract us to that particular job. But that allure tends to lose its luster after a while. Even if it's a good-sized paycheck, it's not enough to keep people fully engaged in what they're doing or why they're doing it. You know, the Bible says, do not muzzle the ox while he's treading out the grain. What's that mean? It means, well, let him eat some grain while he's treading it out, and then he'll be happy. Every time you lead that old ox out, he's getting a little excited. Hey, yeah, we're going to go tread some grain. You muzzle that ox and he's thinking, I don't know, you're treading no stinking grain. You tread grain all day. But take his muzzle off. Oh, boy. It's like working at the Dairy Queen and getting a blank check, you know, anytime you want. Don't muzzle the ox. And I believe that the scripture teaches profit sharing. I think that's a great concept. Jesus said to the servant who gained more, give him more. Give him what the other guy, that guy he didn't do a thing with it. Take it off of him, give it to the other. And everybody, wait a second, he's already got a bunch. I don't know if that fits into, yeah, it kind of does, capitalism and so on. But, you know, you work harder, you ought to be rewarded for that. Yes. And I think there should be buy-in. And I think we should share that, share the profits with those who are coming after us, not just be looking for and after ourselves. I think a great line to use on your employees is, I care more about you than what you can do for us. I care about you. How are you doing? And give some value to the individual, to know them, what they're going through. Ask them about what they were talking about yesterday and build up their life and their heart. Be a servant leader with a humble heart. And desire to develop others. They're coming after us. We're not here long. None of us is here very long. And we want to see the younger ones do well. We want to see them build up and be strengthened. So, how do you treat an inferior? Never have one. Never have. They're just brothers and sisters. I had a seventh grade history teacher, Mr. Stoner. And I forget how it came up, but he said to our class the one day, he said, I'm not smarter than you. He said, a lot of you are smarter than I am, and you're going to do greater things than I ever did. It's just I'm older than you, and I have more experience, and this is my job right now. But he said, don't let any teacher, don't let anybody look down on you. Don't let them belittle you, because you're just blossoming now. You know, it gave us worth. It gave us, because back in my day anyway, we had a few teachers who made you feel like you. And here was a teacher who came along and lifted us up to his level and brought us along. And we appreciated that. And when you're in a position of authority, even an older brother or sister, well, lift them up. Give them strength. Breathe life into them. And God will see that life is breathed into you. Would you stand with me this morning on eagle's wings?